following podcast is hashtag Boone approved. It's time for another edition of the Brett Boone Podcast.
Remember when me and you almost went to blows? Lou sent me down three times too, so I know what you're talking about.
With your host, MLB All-Star, Brett Boone.
Bottom line is, you will become a successful major league hitter by hitting pitchers' mistakes.
As he sits down with his sports and entertainment friends from around the world.
You are not going to be a successful major league hitter if you hit pitchers' pitches.
This isn't just any former jocks podcast.
To change the outcome, you got to change the income. You got to change what goes in. Then that changes what goes out.
Often duplicated, but never replicated. Just like his bat flip.
Okay, now the party starts. The responsibility starts now.
Now in its fourth year, this is the one and only Brett Boone Podcast.
Welcome to the Brett Boone Podcast. I am Brett Boone, and we're going a little outside the box today. I got the host of Bob Does Sports. He's a podcaster. I think he's a huge baseball fan, too. I'm really looking forward to chopping it up with him. Ladies and gentlemen, Robbie Berger, a.k.a. Robbie Bobby Fairways, a.k.a. and the newest one, Bobby Tube Socks. Welcome to the program.
Whole lot of nicknames. I appreciate you for having me on, Brett. Thank you, man.
Yeah, you better be good. I went out on a limb here.
Look, time will tell. I mean, I hope I can be okay for you.
Let me explain to the audience watching the podcast today. Okay. Robbie does a lot of work on social media. He's blown up. And me being the old guy, and my kids are the ones that I usually get tips on. But I just came across your videos one day, and I see this guy, he's kind of got the Jersey accent. I grew up in Jersey. I still got a bunch of buddies that childhood buddies that now I still hang with that got that Jersey accent. I lost it. I left there before puberty. I didn't keep the accent. So I come across your videos and I'm watching like, who is this guy? What's he talking about? And you're breaking down. I think at the time you're breaking down Costco. Mm-hmm. Going to Costco and you're in aisle four, you're getting three different items. And then I'm watching you, the acai bowls. And then the greatest, you had Caesar salads for like 6 days straight and stuff like that. I'm showing my kids and they're like, oh yeah, I've seen him before. And they're like, Dad, how'd you find that? Cause they don't think I can find anything.
Right.
I'm watching it. And then, Tony Finau going down the fairway. And I got you commenting. And I could tell too, that these guys know you, all the tour guys know you. When they hear your voice, they always give you a shout out. So that's kind of cool. I want to know, how did this all start? How did it all blow up?
Yeah, I mean, funny. I'm that guy. I always got that camera rolling. So no matter what it is that I'm doing, you know, we're always filming stuff. But I was working at the Four Seasons. I moved out to LA. I wanted to be in the hospitality business and the hotel business. And that was always a lead to get me into entertainment, that I figured if I worked at a Four Seasons or a high-end hotel, that eventually I would meet somebody that would kind of connect me into the entertainment world with all the people that come through the doors of the Four Seasons. My cousin was in the hotel business. But every time that I would get home, I would start filming stuff right away. Comedy skits, like anything, food reviews, anything that I could get my hands on. So that's really how it started. So I was building the Instagram pretty big. I mean, more followers. I just kept going and going and going. Like as soon as I got home, I would start, you know, filming stuff, posting stuff. And it just got bigger and bigger and bigger to where I got to a point where I was like, I could do this full time. Barstool Sports, a company, had reached out to me about doing it full time, which really got the wheels churning that, you know, I could really make a job out of this, as ridiculous as that seems. And it just got bigger and bigger to one day I was able to leave the hotel for good. And then we started Bob Does Sports, as you mentioned.
You got a crew. Okay, so give me your crew, your main guys that you go on the road with. You got Fat Perez, who's my favorite, by the way. Looks like he's got games. Okay, so give me all the characters that you go out into the field with. You got Fat Perez. Who else?
Fat Perez, and you're right. He's an absolute stick. He's unbelievable. I mean, big fella, hence Fat Perez, and just so good at golf. We met him on a happy hour that we were doing for the show. We would do a happy hour and do the podcast. So Fat Perez, and then Joey Coldcuts, who I met at the Four Seasons. He was the manager at the restaurant. So me and Coldcuts were going out filming these videos. And as it started to get bigger, people would come into the hotel looking for us at the Four Seasons. And it was very, very strange for people who work at the Four Seasons because they want you to be, you know, pretty buttoned up at the Four Seasons and all that. So when people would come and ask us for pictures, it was a very, very bizarre time. But yeah, you have Joey Coldcuts, Fat Perez, the Jet, who's our producer, and then a guy, the Big Ticket, who's another producer as well. So it's this really close group. It's like a traveling circus. And yeah, the videos just really started to pop off. So now we always do all these golf videos. And yeah, it's been an unbelievable ride.
And Coldcuts, he's kind of the foil of everything. It's like, what's he going to do today? I got you.
Yeah, he's all a nut. You take him out, he's a nut.
All right, so give me the offsprings. Bob Does Sports. Then you got Brilliantly Dumb, which is on your Instagram feed, which I watch. All right, what else? What do you got spawning off that?
Yeah, so just like you said, Brilliantly Dumb is Instagram, and then Bob Does Sports is the show, is the golf show where we go out, play, do different challenges, all that stuff, play with a bunch of PGA pros, play with Josh Allen, a lot of people, which is awesome. And then from that, we have our own clothing line, Breezy, which we started our apparel line, which is really, really cool. And then we have our drink called Have a Day, which is like our brand that we've always promoted. And yeah, so the whole thing, it all kind of comes full circle. And yeah, it's pretty crazy.
When you went to your first PGA, because as I mentioned, when I watch you and you're at the golf course, that's kind of your thing. You just call out guys, and it could be what color they're wearing that day or how they look, or I don't know. You do a lot better job than I do. How did that come to fruition? Like, you didn't just show up one day and start yelling at guys. Now the guys know you, they know that voice, but how did that all start? Then I want to get to Bryson. I know you played with him recently.
Yeah, it's a really good question. I would go out onto the golf course, and you got to walk a fine line, you know, out on the golf course to where, like, you know, we call it heckling, but like, you don't want to go out there and like really like chirp these guys, but we would kind of chirp them in a positive way to get a reaction out of them. And we started filming those videos. Tony Vidal ended up loving it. And that's really kind of what started it, to where we would chirp them, not in a bad way, more in a positive way. And the reactions we would get for them would be so funny, to where I think they would kind of start to recognize the voice and kind of get into it and behind it. So that really started to pick up steam, to where, yeah, then we would start to go to these tournaments. Tony Fee and I would hear the voice and then always give us something back. And these videos really started to blow up of us doing it. We don't really do those anymore, but at the time when we were just getting started, they were really, really big. And that's kind of what kicked it off.
Yeah, because, you know, when I was playing, you have, you know, wherever city you go to, you're going to have fans. You're going to have some guys yelling at you, obnoxious. You know, it's part of the program. But there's always those staples, those guys. It could be the guy that's been outside of gate two for 17 years. And when you walk in, hey, that's so-and-so. So, you know, and when he says something to you at the stadium, you always kind of give him a wave like, he's kind of a fixture. He's okay. It's off limits to get on. He's not like a normal fan. So you got to get in there, though. It's not easy. You got to have a likability to you, and you got to have a little charisma, and you got to kind of be funny for the guys to like. To get an athlete to turn, smile, and look at you, it's not just an easy thing. You got to have that package.
It's kind of like it on a much lesser scale. It's kind of like roll call at Yankee Stadium, where you know that's going to happen. They got the respect from the players. They'll give them tip of the cap, whatever it may be.
Yeah, it's awesome, but it's not easy. I've seen certain guys in certain venues through my life. You know, there was a guy in Philly. I always had to go over and say hi to him. Same guy that was there since my childhood. But there's certain guys that get into that little unique club. It's pretty cool. You got in, man. It's cool to see that.
When you guys hear the chirping, like when you're out on the field, do you guys go back into the dugout and talk about it in the dugout about somebody chirping out there?
It depends. I used to love New York. That's my wheelhouse. Now, I don't know if I could live in New York. That'd be tough. Yes, me neither. But I look forward to our trip to the Bronx and going to Manhattan and that whole thing, just the whole craziness of New York City. And I'd love to get up in the morning and just take a walk down the street, because Yankee fans are unbelievable. New York in general. But when you're playing, you're walking down. I had the frosted blonde hair, and I'd be walking down the street and I'd get just people across the street screaming at me, Boone, you suck. We're going to beat your ass tonight. And
but even just walking down the street.
It was great, though. And because I wanted to take it all in. I got to go get a hot dog. I got to do the whole New York thing. And that was just a part of my day. But I didn't take it personal. I took it as that's their way of saying, hey, Booney, how you doing today? That's how New Yorkers say it. They didn't mean anything by it. They want the Yankees to kick my butt. I know that. But why would I like them to want me to win? You know, if I'm at home in Seattle, you better be on my side. So I understood it. But the thing I loved about Yankee Stadium is, first of all, the venue. It's unbelievable. The city of New York, just that back east vibe. I love it. Like I said, I grew up there, and I just love visiting that. And just getting on the on-deck circle, and it starts right then. And you got to always – my outfield buddies, they took the brunt of it. Okay, because the outfield, that's where the cheap seats are. So there's a different level of fan out in right center.
Of course.
Than sitting on the on-deck circle. They're paying $1,000 a seat. So you're going to have a little different level of client. But I used to love sitting on deck and just listening to these guys. And I wouldn't interact that much. Once in a while, I'd say, give me something good to make me turn around. Don't just give me, you suck. Yeah, I know you suck, whatever. But if ever – it seemed like in New York – more than anywhere else, they'd come up with something that got me to turn my head. I said, now that's good. We can work with something like that. So you would have been perfect heckling me. You can't just come out with the basic. Anybody can do that. Everybody could tell me how much I suck or how you're going to kill. The thing I liked about it too, though, about New York, is you go out there, have a big game, and I'd kind of, you know, you hit a home run, you come through, and you're kind of looking at the guys getting on you. What do you got for me now? And they'd give you this one or something. So they appreciated good play. But if I went there and went over with a couple punch outs, maybe made an error. Oh, I was going to hear it. I was going to hear it until tomorrow. I'd get on deck and I'd say, let's see how we do today, boys.
Telling you, Brett, this is the stuff I wanted to hear. This is why I was excited to come on. I wanted to hear this type of stuff.
Oh,
I got to ask you another question. Like, do you feel, I don't know if you've been to the new Yankee Stadium, do you feel like, because me just watching it, being there and also watching from afar, you would know a whole lot better. I feel like the old stadium was so much more scary coming into play than the new stadium, and I could be off about that. Do you feel that way?
Oh, I love the old stadium. Now, I've been to the new stadium. I've been out there a few times. But I'll give you a quick story. A few years ago when Aaron first got the job and I went out there to visit him, so I park in the players' parking and I'm walking through the tunnel. Well, a lot of these guys that work in the tunnel, you know, the guards and all that, those are the guards that were there when I was there at old Yankee Stadium. They just, their kind of job goes with them. And I'd see a bunch of guys I hadn't seen in 10 years. Booney, what are you doing, man? Good. Yeah, have you ever been to the new Yankee Stadium? I said, this is my first time. And I said, all right, guys, I want to know, old Yankee Stadium or new Yankee Stadium? Like, it was like clockwork. All of them said, you kidding? You don't have to ask that question. Old Yankee Stadium, yeah. Booney. The thing that was great about old Yankee Stadium, you pull up by the big bat. You know, you had the crowd, but they had it marked off. Get off, come in, and it's now you go down these back steps. And there's leaky pipes, and it's just, I mean, it's old. You get to the clubhouse, and it's kind of like a dungeon, but there's nothing like it. There's nothing. I remember my first postseason game at old Yankee Stadium. I'm on the line, and I'm warming up before the game. Now, I'd played 20 times at Yankee Stadium. It's not a big deal. But, I think it was a World Series. I think it was World Series in 1999. It was Game 3. I'm out warming up on the side, and I just – something came over me. I'm at that point, I'm 6 or 7 year veteran, and something came over me on when I was running my sprints, and it's like – whew, I got to settle down here. Something, it's like you knew you were somewhere special. And it was, I could have closed my eyes and I didn't even have to look around. I just felt like different. And I remember running into the dugout and I had to calm myself down. We had 15 minutes for the national anthem. I'd never had to do that before. Now, once we got going, it's okay and everything's normal. But yeah, old Yankee Stadium had something about it. And I got my heart broken there a couple years later in 2001 with the Mariners. They beat us. And it was like I had so many times, so many bad memories there, but so many great memories too. There's nowhere like that. I used to love going to Wrigley. But there's nothing like old Yankee Stadium.
It just bothered me because sometimes, you know, just watching the game, I just feel like the old stadium, even just from watching on TV, it just feels like it rocked more and it was louder. There was more chaos. Not to say that this one now, there's not a lot going on. It just seemed scarier for players going into that old stadium.
Yeah, it's just kind of a sense of history. Like I said, you don't need to open your eyes. You could just close your eyes and you felt like, not to get corny, but, you know, Ruth played here. You know that kind of feeling?
Yeah, I believe
But there was something to it. And, you know, Jeter was famous for always talking about the ghosts will come out. Well, I'll tell you what, I saw some ghosts. I saw some home runs hit 350 feet that went 390 all of a sudden in the eighth when the Yankees needed one. I saw Bernie Williams hit a pop-up to right center field. And next thing, you know, I put my hand up in the air to show the right fielder. There's a can of corn. And next thing I know, it's 10 rows deep. And I'm going, those are the ghosts. Those are the ghosts Jeter's talking about. Aaron got to see it when he played there in 03. And he used to tell me about it. He goes, yeah, Jeter said the ghosts would come out anytime. And he was a part of one of those ghosts hitting that pinch hit home run.
Oh, it's right field cool porch now. They could just little flick of the wrist. You get it right on over that.
I don't think you can ever replace the old one. But it's gone now. So, of course, you got to sell the new one. That's what they got. It's still a neat place, and it's still the Bronx, and it's still that feeling. Last night, you know, watching game one of the ALCS, for the first time, you saw some weather. You know, it's getting cold. You can tell it's the postseason. They had the long sleeves on. I said, okay, that's when it gets a little bit scary at Yankee Stadium. That wind starts whipping. You got to put the long sleeves on. Now it gets a little scary. It's not that birds chirping 80-degree day game. You know what I'm saying?
You could see there was no routine fly balls last night. Every fly ball that went in, they had a little bit of trouble with it.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Okay, recently you played try to break 50 with DeChambeau. Tell me about that. DeChambeau, by the way, he pulled an unbelievable move. He went from hated dude on the PGA Tour with Koepka. Nobody could stand him, myself included, by the way.
Yeah.
He goes to LIV. Now, everybody on the LIV Tour, everybody hates all the guys that went to LIV, except for Bryson. He flipped it. He's like loved on the LIV now as much as anybody, and I think he's doing a great job. The way he's kind of reinvented himself. And I don't know if it's a part of growing up, maturing, whatever it may be. We all hit our points, but he's like fun. I look forward to watching him do his stuff now because he's full-time one of the best players in the world, but he's doing social media like you are. He's out there playing games with you guys. And I think that's endearing to the fans out there. Like, wow, he's just a regular dude like everybody else. He just hits a 370-yard average off the tee. You recently played with him. How was that?
It was unbelievable, and you're exactly right. I mean, I've never seen a guy go from villain to hero so fast, and I really think that U.S. Open had a lot to do with it because you see him out there. He was showing so much emotion, but playing with him was unbelievable. We've had some moments on the show where we've sat at a tee box on the first tee with somebody, and I've kind of looked over at the guys, and we looked at each other like, this is insane. Like, look how far this whole thing has really come from – you know, us doing these ridiculous videos to doing this now, but to see the ball get hit off his club is the most insane thing of all time. And then just what you said, I asked him about how hard he really cares about his image and how people look at him, and he wants to be liked. Like, he really does. People always say grow the game and stuff. Like, he legitimately wants to grow the game. But he told me how much it hurt him when, like, I think it was Valhalla, he said, when he stepped up to the tee box, like right after the LIV move, wherever, and he got booed, like at a golf course to get booed. It's unheard of. You know, it's not like Yankee Stadium or anything like that. Like, this is, it's so different with golf. So for him to kind of make this change, I think meant the world to him. And then for us playing with him was, oh my God, Brett, it was the coolest thing of all time to see him play. It was unbelievable. He took us to his house afterwards and we hung out and could not be a nicer guy. But yeah, just one of those moments where we just kind of look at each other like, how in God's name are we doing this? Another one we had with that was we played with Josh Allen, Sam Darnold, and Kyle Allen. That was a video that we did that really hit us. That was really cool. But, yeah, Bryson's the man, and to watch him play, it's just there's nothing else like it.
It's cool. I mean, I'm impressed. Like, I've become a fan of his. I mean, he had the whole thing with Koepka, and Koepka's, you know, he's like the cool older brother on tour. And he had that riff. So it was kind of Koepka's crew after Bryson. And now all of a sudden, since they've kind of squashed it, and Bryson just probably got to a point in his life where, because you can't just fake, you can't just change your image by putting a fake persona out there. Nobody's going to buy it. But just the way he's done it, and you could tell that he genuinely, he does care. And he's really trying to grow. I respect the heck out of him. Even when I wasn't a big fan of his, I respected the heck out of his game and how he went about it, because it was a different approach to golf than anyone's ever taken. I mean, it makes complete sense to me, because he'll go, no, this is just a 56 degree and it's 10 o'clock. I know what that means. It goes 10 o'clock on his swing. And he's got it dialed in, and I think it's awesome. When he putts, he measures everything. He's like, it's a 42-footer, so I got to go to, you know, X o'clock on the clock, and he putts, and he's money. But I think you're right. The Open that he won, the way he won, because people don't understand. Well, people that golf understand. But that sand shot he hit tight was unbelievable, because that's a, you know, that sand shot right around the green, that's easy for him. But those in between sand shots, it's like he was probably at that point where, do I play just a massive sand shot here, or do I have to pick it? I'm in between. He just hit the great shot. And the way he celebrated, that reaction out of his, that wasn't premeditated. That's just what he was feeling. And I think you're right. You really put him over the edge. And the masses started really liking Bryson DeChambeau at that point.
He wears his heart on his sleeve too. I think it really started to turn even before he won the U.S. Open. I forget, it was a major. Maybe it wasn't the Masters. He made a run at a major before, and he wears his heart on his sleeve to where he's showing a lot of emotion. But like you said, it's genuine emotion, so people were really able to get behind it, and just change. And then you see everybody pulling for him the way that they do, and he's so good for golf. And then for us YouTubers, there's a lot of people, I'm sure, who frown upon YouTube golf and whatnot, but he's legitimized it for us to where you see this guy who's one of the best players in the world now going and also playing YouTube golf. I think he not only has made it legit for us, but he's brought in so many eyeballs that normally wouldn't watch YouTube over to us now. So we owe him a lot.
What's the favorite courses? Give me a top three favorite courses you've played now since you've been doing it. I got my Pebble trip. I do it every year. We got a Pebble Beach trip at the end of November. I've been doing it since 1994. We get about 120 guys, and we do it. So that's my favorite time of the year. Give me your top three courses you and the boys have played.
Yeah, Shadow Creek in Las Vegas.
Tremendous.
Is a good one. Oh my God. It's like, you know, the middle of the desert, and then all of a sudden there's all this beautiful grass, and Shadow Creek's one for sure. Bandon Dunes, we went Bandon to, Dunes was unbelievable. And then by far the best one, like you mentioned, the history going to Yankee Stadium, the history when you go to St. Andrews. And I was
I've never been there.
Oh man. I was not like a huge golf enthusiast. I really only started golfing once I saw how good our golf videos would do. And I was like, all right, like I got to get into this. Ended up loving it. But you walk on St. Andrews and you feel like all the history, the tee shot that you take, that for sure was number one.
I'll let our audience in on this. The other night, Robbie's doing a watch party of the Yankees with his pops. I popped in. I know. I think it was kind of his debut, right?
Yes, that was his first stream debut.
How was it for him? Because he's, you know, it's like, how'd you prep him? Because it's like, Dad, don't do too much, but don't do too little. Give him a little content, but don't make it forced. I thought he did a good job.
What
advice you give him?
You know what? He's going to appreciate hearing that from you. That'll go a long way for him. I thought he did great. I told him, I mean, since I started doing this whole social media thing, he's really to watch him where he started, where he didn't really know what he was. He wanted to support me, but he really didn't know anything about it. And then to watch it pick up steam, and then he started to figure it out more. I told him, I said, look, just know you're live. A lot of stuff will happen on the podcast sometimes. You know, you could edit things out. I said, we're live. Anything you say, that's out there. Like, it's like live TV almost. But he was good. I know he's such a big Yankee fan that regardless, you know, he was going to end up feeling like the stream wasn't even there. There's no cameras there. It's just him watching the game, which is what right. we want. But just watch it, enjoy, have a ball. And then my fans love him. Anytime I put him on, he's got this softball team called the Jupiter Jackals that people just they eat up. They're getting into fights on the field. It's like 55 and up, but they take it seriously.
Yeah.
So that's when people started viewing his content and just loved it. But yeah, I just told him, just do you enjoy the game like we normally would. And then that was so great to where we're filming, but it's just like me and him watching the game, and we go nuts for the Yankees more than anything.
Yeah, it's funny because as I'm getting a little bit older, and it's kind of a joke now with me, because always during my playing career and Aaron's playing career, Aaron was always Brett's brother, right? Always. And now all of a sudden he's the Yankee skipper, and once in a while they'll say, oh, you're Aaron's brother. And I laugh, but I understand with the circumstances. And when I popped on and you said, hey, Pops, Brett Boone's on the live feed. And he goes, oh, Aaron's brother. And I start telling him that gave me a laugh. That gave me a laugh because my buddies even tease me now. They're like, oh, you're Aaron's brother. You know, like,
well, you guys, he was telling me after the stream, he was telling me, you guys are probably one of the biggest baseball families out there. He was telling me, like, he doesn't know a bigger baseball family than the Boones. Of course, you have a lot of, you know, baseball, obviously, like Griffey's and stuff right. like that. But you guys, top to bottom, are one of the biggest baseball families out there.
Well, yeah, because we had four, because we had Grandpa, yep. and then Dad, and then myself, and then Aaron after me. And I've got a son right now in the minor leagues. I always tease him. I said, don't screw it up. Whatever you do, don't screw it up. But no, I'm pretty proud. And you know, as time goes on and you stop, you know, when you get a little older, you'll see that you don't take yourself as serious as you used to. But it's cool to look back now. And there was a point in my life when I was young and I was making it. And, you know, all they talk to you about, oh, you got big shoes to fill, your dad and your grandpa. And I'm like, screw dad, screw grandpa. I got to do this for me. As you get older, you start to really appreciate what your family's done. And instead of being something like you don't want to talk about, it's like, no, now it's cool to look back. And I'm really proud of what grandpa did and what dad did and what Aaron did and is doing. So, yeah, it went from one of those to pretty special family and pretty special group of guys that I got to share a lot of experiences of life with, you know, and still get to, you know, I'm up here at the ranch in Idaho and I get to spend this week with my dad and we get to, you know, that's our time and a couple of my sons are with me. So yeah, it's a tightly knit group and I'm awful proud of, what my family's accomplished to this point. And like I said, still accomplishing.
Oh, the stories you guys got to have sitting around a dinner table with the Boones, the amount of baseball stories got to be off the charts.
There's a few, you know, when Gramps was alive and I was really tight with my grandpa, he for days, it would be Ted Williams this and Ted Williams that and Bob Feller this and Bob and everybody that I was playing against stunk. And hey, Gramps, I got to face Randy Johnson. And I was like, oh, Randy Johnson, Bob Feller, you know, but then when they're gone, you miss those stories. Like, I wish Gramps could sit around and tell those stories again right now. You appreciate them, you know, with time. But when you're in, when it's your time and you're in your prime, you don't want to hear from Gramps and all his old stories. But then look back, like, how cool were those stories, you know, that you don't get to, because that time in history to talk about Ted Williams and this, you know, it's like it didn't really exist. Like Babe Ruth, it seems like he's a cartoon character. Like he didn't really walk the earth, right?
It's a myth. You know,
but he did, right. It's a myth. And one day this generation will be a myth. No, it was real. But right. that's the way time goes. Tell me about you grew up in Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it started? You've always been a Yankee fan?
Yeah, die hard. Rivalry with my cousins. My cousins are from Long Island, so half of the family's Yankee fans, half of the family's Met fans, so there's always been that rivalry. But growing up, I was, you know, big baseball player. Baseball was my number one, and then, you know, I was obsessed with Derek Jeter. you know, all the winning that they were doing. So, yeah, growing up in Jersey, I ended up just being a huge Yankee fan, just following whoever my dad was rooting for. That was the team that I was going to end up rooting for. So just die hard with the Yankees more than anything. Like, I'm a Jets fan, Islanders fan, and all that jazz. But when it comes to the Yankees, like, that's where I'm, like, die hard with it.
You know you guys are ridiculous, right? Your fan base. Now being on this side of the,
now 100%.
Me being on this side of the ledger, and I gotta do analytical stuff, and I've gotta break down. It comes every year, and I gotta do WFAN this week, and they'll talk to me a half hour, and they'll give me a bunch of ridiculous scenarios, and I'll say, when you're done being a New York fan, I'll break this down for you for a while. But it cracks me up. It's the beauty of New York and why I always wanted to play there. I never got a chance. I thought, you know, at the end of my career, I'd love to just play for the Yankees, maybe in a part-time role. It never came to fruition, but I always wanted to do it. Never got a chance to do it. But to this day, the fans, with the World Series or bust, I said, it's not 1940, okay? You're not the big, bad team that the only team that has all the money to pay every. Now that 90s run where they won four and then a fifth ring, you got to realize that's like a phenomenon. It's impossible. Right. They just had the right group at the right time that got it done. And especially with today's playoffs, you got 12 teams. I don't know how you can predict who's going to be in the postseason. I'm breaking it down as much as I can. I got no clue.
One of my favorite things as a kid was I used to be obsessed with the fan, and I used to find it so funny. The people that call in, it's like the Yankees will lose the first game of the season.
Oh, fire Aaron Boone.
Fire Boone. That's the end of it. Boone's got to go. And then the next day they win. And they're like, I think more so than any fan base, the Yankees are just the worst with that exactly what you said. They lose a game, fire Boone, he's got to go, and then they win, and then he's back, more so than any franchise.
Oh, I've never seen anything like it. It's like it's not 1940. You can't just win World Series like that anymore. There are other teams that spend a lot of money, yep, and have just as good a chance. And now with the postseason, 12 teams in, anything, as we're watching in this postseason, anything can happen. If you were to tell me the Mets, the Kansas City Royals, and the Detroit Tigers are going to make it to the postseason, you're crazy.
No.
And then Detroit and Kansas City moving on. All right, they got bumped. You told me when the Padres were up 2-1, the Dodgers are going to lose. You're crazy. Now the Dodgers are there. So I'll tell you, this stage of my life, being on in the media side, I really enjoy the postseason as a player. If I didn't get to the postseason, I wouldn't even watch. I'd just go off in the sunset and have a nice winter. But now I actually like watching the games. Even if I could care less who the teams are. I don't have a buddy or any ties to that organization. The quality of play, it's entertaining.
It's great. And it's just like you said, nowadays, the Yankees aren't just the only ones spending. You look at like the Dodgers. I fear every day. I still think that the Mets are going to make a run at Soto at the end of the year with the money that Cohen has to spend. But like, you have all these teams now that are spending money that Yankee fans unfortunately have to realize that it's just a different time now. We're not just going to dominate. Anybody can win.
Right.
But it's funny you mentioned that, because I've always gotten such a kick out of that. Even like as a kid, I would understand just how ridiculous some of those call-ins were that you get on the fan. Yeah, but at the same time, it's wildly entertaining.
It is. It is, because maybe the Dodgers now, because they have big expectations, but all the other teams, let's say, I don't know, picking it, the Cleveland Indians. If they were to go to the World Series and get their butt kicked, the city of Cleveland would have a ticker tape parade for the Cleveland Indians. If the Yankees were to go to the World Series, lose in game 7, everybody should be fired. They're the worst franchise. Man. They stink. And that's the difference between the Yankees and everybody else. And it's just New York. It's what I get frustrated about, but it's what I love the most about of New York. It's just because people are so ridiculous. It's really entertaining to me. I love it.
It really even goes to even football. I mean, football, it's every sport, Dad, there too. They're just nuts. And I always just laugh at these people that call in. It's like in the middle of the day where you think that they're working and they wait on hold all this time. And then they get on and they say the most ridiculous thing. But it's so entertaining. But yeah, it's what makes New York, New York. It's one day you're the hero, next day you're a villain that fast.
It's awesome. Before I let you go, I want to, give me a typical, because I know you guys get really busy. Give me a typical week. You're going on the road. You got two stops you got to go to. How do you get the crew together? How do you travel? Where do you stay? Do you bunk up with each other? Are you guys getting big time now where you got your own room? Maybe Robbie Burger's got the suite.
No. What we do is, so we'll do one filming week for the month. So 1 week, and then we get as many videos as we can, which usually takes care of that whole month. We have a golf trip that we base it around, and then we're big. We have a van because we have so many guys now. We just brought on another producer, but we're big Airbnb guys. And the reason being is, if we all have our own rooms in a hotel, we won't be able to get as much content. We love to get like behind the scenes content. Some people end up liking that types of stuff more than even us being on the golf course, like even just all us at a dinner table. So filming wise, for us to stay at an Airbnb, we're able to get so much. But yeah, then we go out, then we film our videos. We get enough videos stocked up for the month, maybe a little bit after that. And then I will say that as great as it is, you can't be, I mean, for us, it's a dream. We get to golf for a living and play shitty golf for a living, which, you know, it's unbelievable. But
except for Fat Perez, he plays
good. Except for Perez. That's correct. That's absolutely correct. But yeah, I mean, we do then with the clothing line and the drink, we do have a lot on our plate that when we get home, we're constantly on calls. We're going to different appearances. Now a lot of like different liquor stores to promote the drink. So like we're on the road nonstop, which is a blessing. It's awesome. It's a blast, but we're on the move all the time.
Very cool. I mean, it sounds like I'm just getting into this now because I'm not from the generation of social media. So I'm just learning all this stuff now. My producer's always telling me, no, you need more content with you and hanging out with Aaron or your dad. People want to see that because I'm always like posting who's next up on the podcast. They're like, yeah. No, you can't just put I said, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm learning. What's my best combo? What give me a percentage of podcast versus regular content.
You could put the regular content and bring it into the podcast. So like you could have like a start, like an intro of behind the scenes content that then leads into the podcast. I think you're doing a darn good job. I really do. I think it's awesome. With that being said, I do agree with the producers. I would love to see something like with you and Aaron chopping it up, or even you and your dad. Seems like you guys are on a hunting trip. Get a kick out of that, watching you guys hunting, telling baseball stories.
So if you were here, you'd have it all set up for the perfect something that's going to really pop on social media.
I would want to see you take down that elk that you just took down. I would want to have a camera going on Brett Boone the whole way through.
Yeah, but is that politically correct?
Yeah, and no, you're not wrong. Trust me, there's some people who have a field day with that. Yeah,
right,
no.
right. So for do my hardcore Seattle Mariner fans, do they like that Brett Boone's going hunting? Or do I have to be careful?
You're
right. At the end of the day,
with that vest, you're not hiding it. I mean, you could see you're going out hunting, so you're not hiding anything, Brett.
I came on. All right, we got game two tonight. You'll be checking it out. No, game two's tomorrow. No, it's tonight. You'll be tuning in. All right, I need a Bobby Fairway. Give a message to Aaron Boone and the Bobby only the way Bobby Fairways can give it.
Man, you know what? I'm not just saying this to you because you're here, Brett.
No, you told me. I know this is true.
I am the biggest Aaron Boone supporter. I really am. Because for me, with the baseball manager, of course, they got to press the right buttons to a degree. All I ask for that I want to see out of a manager is where their guys play for them. Whether they're winning or losing, the guys are playing for them. I think they play for Aaron every single time, whether they're winning or they're losing. So while I'm all in on him, whether he wins the World Series or not, take it game by game. Let's go get game two, and then let's go win the World Series.
All right. Everybody can find you at – give me the best place for everybody to find you at.
Yeah, just head on over to Bob Does Sports. Bob Does Sports Instagram, YouTube. Head on over there. That's the bread and butter right there. Come take a look at some bad golf and then some good golf by Fat Perez.
All right, man. Robbie, I appreciate it. This is a lot of fun. Something a little different for me, but I love it. I love your stuff. I'll continue while I'm turning my buddies on to you. Richie Sexton, I said, you got to watch Bobby Fairway. So I got my buddies checking you out. It's a lot of fun. You do a good job, man. And like it's, you got that accent, but you got that whatever's in the middle that everybody doesn't have that kind of grabs your eye. And I appreciate it. And that's why I reached out to you, man. And I appreciate you coming on. For those of you checking out the Boone Podcast, now we got our own YouTube channel. Check that out. For those of you listen to the podcast, the Odyssey app, wherever you download your podcast. Until next time, keep it here.